The second major area of discussion in the think tank related to adjuvant chemotherapy. Dr. Chuck Vogel began the discussion by commenting on the adjuvant implications of his study evaluating the use of preemptive myeloid growth factors to avoid febrile neutropenia.
This is a study where Taxotere or docetaxel was chosen as a representative regimen that could cause somewhere around a 20% risk of febrile neutropenia at 100 milligrams per meter squared. And you're all aware that indeed it did approximate 20% at 17%. And in all three endpoints in terms of febrile neutropenia, febrile neutropenia-related hospitalizations, or anti-infective use, the addition of pegfilgrastim showed rather dramatic improvement in this intermediate risk regimen. And so these are the new NCCN guidelines, and most people would agree that prophylactic use of growth factors should be used in patients with greater than 20% risk of febrile neutropenia. We're still waiting for the ASCO guidelines to come out. The intermediate group, 10 to 20%, should be considered the use of prophylactic growth factors, and low risk, and depending on which study you look at, maybe AC should be considered low risk, should not receive growth factors. I don't think anybody would disagree that dose-dense AC followed by Taxol, AC followed by docetaxel, or AT or TAC all have very high febrile neutropenia rates and should be considered very strongly to be using prophylactic growth factors. These are some regimens. Intermediate AC is considered as an intermediate risk. The docetaxel capecitabine is another regimen that was included in this group. And then the entire question of patient risk factors. There are a lot of comorbidities that need to be considered if we are thinking about the use of prophylactic growth factors. TAC versus FAC in the metastatic setting, in the adjuvant setting, with very high risks of febrile neutropenia, I certainly would be using prophylactic pegfilgrastim in these patients. And then another commonly used regimen, certainly in Europe, would be FEC. And here again, one might raise the question in terms of febrile neutropenia that in this particular regimen, and this comes from Miguel Martin's study, that the febrile neutropenia risk falls below 10% and therefore is in the low-risk group. So there are other things that can lead to the question of whether you should use prophylactic growth factors. And a study from Gary Lyman taking a look at dose delays and dose reductions and relative dose intensities in early stage breast cancer, pretty much across the board from practicing oncologists, seeing that dose delays and dose reductions were almost the rule rather than the exception. And so should that be factored in? So now what about the justification for pegfilgrastim with AC or FAC or FEC or TC? Well, these are really borderline to low febrile neutropenia rates. Certainly, if we're thinking about dose densification, there would be a reason to do this. Another reason to do this, the use of prophylactic pegfilgrastim, would be to avoid dose reductions and delays. And the third reason to consider it would probably be the risk factors from the NCCN guidelines. If you have somebody who's frail and who you think is at risk for febrile neutropenia. But I think that each of these regimens really have febrile neutropenia rates that are really quite on the borderline in terms of the use of prophylactic pegfilgrastim.